good morning, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Meet the Expert. I'm Elliot Callen, CEO of Prosperity Financial Group, and today we've got a very exciting show. We're going to talk about the 401k and the defined contribution slash defined benefit industry. So if you're a CEO, a CFO, an HR manager, an admin person, you want to hear what we're talking about with both ears open, because I think you're going to pick up some great information. Our guest today is Mark Idle-George. He is the partner with Coleman Smith in Walnut Creek. I'll tell you more about them as we go. He runs the audit division, and within that audit division is the 401k audit group. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me to participate, and I appreciate everybody's time here watching as well.
Absolutely. It's great. So we know we're talking to people that make a difference in the defined benefit, defined contribution industry. They have an impact. They're touching every aspect of plans. So for them, they're going to want to share this with people they know at their own company. So let me start with Mark. What makes a great 401k?
That's a tough question to answer, Elliot. I think it depends on the person's background and what they want in their company. And it depends on who you ask. If you ask a business owner or if you ask an HR director or a participant or an employee. But I think generally what makes a great 401k is first of all, I think you start with a team of people and organization service providers. So that includes investment advisors, that includes accountants, that includes, you know, representatives of the company, custodians, and maybe auditors as well. So I think when you have a good team of people, I think that's going to bring you the best of all worlds. And then I think also you need to have a good investment option portfolio. I think you have to have diversified and different investment options for the various people involved. I think you have to have very good communication amongst all of these parties. I think you have to meet the needs of the company and its owners. So maybe plan design issues might benefit the company owners as well as the employees. And then I think last but not least, you have to have active participation. I think if nobody participates in a 401k plan, that it's going to limit the benefits that are out there. So I think all of those things for me are what make it a great, great plan.
So Mark, I know as an auditor and primarily auditing plans with over 100 employees, you are looking at the plan sponsor or the platform that these plans are on, and you audit all plans. You don't care if they're with Hancock or Transamerica or TD Ameritrade or anybody else. For you, you want to just make sure that the plan is in compliance.
That's right. There's a lot of different objectives during an audit. And again, it depends on, you know, the person or the organization that is looking at this. But we are independent. We're required to be independent of not just the plan sponsor and the investment advisor and the custodian, but everything. And the Department of Labor and the IRS are the two organizations that kind of govern these types of audits. So they require that independence. And it really, from a personal standpoint, it doesn't matter to us where the plan is residing or who their investment people are. We do all sorts of types of audits, and we're flexible with every audit we do. So it's it really is to the benefit of the plan sponsor and the owners and that kind of make that difference.
Great. So Mark, let me ask you, you know that we are fiduciary advisors for both 321 and 338. So how important is this to the trustee, to the administrator, because both are involved in a plan, instead of just being a broker?
That's a good question. This is something that's evolved over the last couple of decades, where in the old days, most investment advisors were not fiduciary advisors. But in the advent of the 404C regulations and a lot of other developments within ERISA, this is becoming more common. And I think because it's becoming more common, I think it's one of those things that is the best for the plan sponsor to pursue. In other words, if an investment advisor is not willing to take the responsibility as a fiduciary advisor, I would question why, because a lot in the industry now do this. And to me, I look at it as an insurance policy that, if you take a fiduciary role, whether it's investments or some other type of role in the plan, that helps protect the plan sponsor and the trustees and the fiduciaries within that plan. So to me, why not have an expert take that role and help offset some of that responsibility? Now, a plan sponsor can't fully delegate that according to the IRS and Department of Labor, but this is much more common in today's world, and I think it's a very, very good idea.
Great. So we know that with the Biden administration, they're sinking dollars into the IRS and the Department of Labor for more auditors to find more income for the federal government. So how does a trustee and administrator make their plan, Department of Labor, DOL proof, so to speak, the bulletproof?
Yeah, being the conservative accountant that we are, I don't know that there's ever a really good answer to that question. I don't know that you can make it DOL proof. And from what I've seen over the various administrations is that it's not just Democrats and Republicans. There are cycles, and they're both sides of the aisle are looking for revenue. And so what we've seen is sometimes in the high peaks, there are more auditors out there looking for money, and then there are low periods where they kind of back off. But to answer the question, I think that you have to keep your participants happy. And what I mean by that is that you want to try to create a plan and an environment such that they don't lodge formal complaints with the Department of Labor, because that is the number one reason why the Department of Labor will make some inquiries. The second is that I think you have to have very good service providers. You have to have competent investment advisors, competent custodians, auditors, CPAs to help, because ERISA is a very complicated law. And a lot of people aren't very familiar with a lot of its components. So if you don't have experts to help you, you're going to have to do it yourself. And I don't know anybody that really likes to do that other than maybe attorneys and maybe CPAs. So that's the second thing, is to hire competent investment and advisors. Investment professionals and advisors. I would not chase the lowest fee if you're hiring anybody with respect to a service provider in a plan. In my experience, and it goes back 35 years now, you get what you pay for. And the Department of Labor is knowledgeable about, as an example, firms that pay very, very, very cheap audit fees. There are firms out there that you can find, if you look hard enough, that will charge maybe a third of what the normal rate is. And that is disclosed oftentimes on a Form 5500, which is the tax return for the plan. So if the Department of Labor sees that fee abnormally low, I have seen frequently that they will investigate that, and they will audit the auditors. They will subpoena the audit documentation to make sure that the auditors are actually doing a thorough job. And that's just in the audit world. They are also doing similar types of things with other service providers. You may have heard about Fidelity years ago having some issues, and not that Fidelity is a bad service provider, but that's an example of one where they really got involved and started questioning things like notices and fee disclosures and things like that. So hire competent advisors and would be the next thing. I wouldn't chase the lowest fee. I think that, you know, a fair fee is fine, and it is competitive. So I don't think that it's going to be abnormally expensive, but I would think about that. I'd keep very good records, especially with respect to committee meeting minutes, and making sure that when you have discussions with participants or service providers, that you do document your judgments and your decisions, because that can help in the long run as well. The next thing, I think there's a long list here, and I apologize, but the next thing is remit the 401k deposits timely. That's always been a hot point with the Department of Labor. And, that's one of those areas where a participant may complain and say, hey, I don't see my money hitting my account for 2, 3, 4 weeks. That would possibly be a problem. And the Department of Labor is sensitive to that issue in particular. I'd make sure that you understand the definition of your compensation in your plan document, because that's another area of error and violations, where bonuses and commissions and severance payments and maybe medical allowances may or may not be subject to 401k withholding. So that we find that in the audits from time to time, and that would be something to take a look at. I would consider, if I were in a position of a plan sponsor, I'd consider hiring a third-party administrator, because a lot of what they do nowadays is kind of an outsourced function and might, you know, help a plan sponsor or their staff reduce their workload, and they're experts. So that would be another reason why I would hire them. And then I'd also make sure that you conduct quarterly meetings, or at least quarterly meetings, about the various decisions that, you know, are made with respect to the plan. So while that might be a lengthy list, that's, I think, what I think are the main points to make sure that the Department of Labor doesn't come snooping around when they, maybe you don't want them to.
So on, as you said, for quarterly meetings, let me bring up, as a fiduciary advisor, we're very fee sensitive. We're trying to always lower the fees for clients, or at least keep them very competitive. There's been a race to the bottom of fees in our entire industry. There's probably a race to the bottom of fees in the accounting industry. It's just, the more transparent we are, the more pressure there is on fees. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. But I do know that if you want to be an effective advisor, you need to meet with the trustee on a regular basis, and you need to do good employee education. So how do you see that playing in when you're making sure that if you're trying to prevent them from getting a DOL fine for not doing proper trustee meetings and proper employee education?
Yeah, this is a topic that we discuss with our clients just about every audit. And some firms are very good about having meetings, and some aren't. And I've represented many clients in front of the Department of Labor and IRS during their examinations. And this is definitely one of those areas that they look at to determine whether or not the plan sponsor is, you know, meeting their various fiduciary responsibilities. So if we were to see this during an audit, we would definitely recommend that the plan sponsor conduct meetings, whether they're investment committee meetings or the plan administration meetings or whatever it might be. They could be combined or separate, but we would encourage them to meet with their investment advisor at least quarterly, because the way the market is nowadays, as you know, it's volatile. And so if you wait and do these meetings every 6 months or annually, I think that you're running the risk of not having information and at your disposal to make an effective decision. In other words, the decision might be too late after that. So I think at least quarterly would be my recommendation, but I think it depends on the relationship and it depends on the plan.
So let me just continue on this meeting question, and we're coming to the end here. So when we do these meetings, I'm assuming that Zoom and live meetings are both acceptable. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so when we do the audit, when you're doing an audit for our clients and other people's clients, what should an administrator, what should the trustee expect for the process to be, and how complicated it is? How much will it bog their team down? Is this simple and easy or scary?
It could be both. It could be either or both. But what one of the things that we try to do is we try to make the audit as painless as possible. And I think we do a pretty good job with that based on the feedback that we get and the fact that we don't lose any of these types of audits very often. And it's usually just from a plan termination standpoint is when we would lose an audit. I can't even think of an example where we've lost an audit for other reasons. And so what we try to do is try to have very, very good communication with the plan sponsor and their representatives and set forth a fairly easy to follow process where we give them a list of information we're going to need, ask them when perhaps it's going to be available usually at their convenience. These audits are usually not strict deadline driven. Most of the audits are smooth when the cooperation is timely and accurate and we communicate well. Sometimes the audits are not very smooth, and that usually means that the communication is not very good. So generally speaking, one of our audits will, that on the very quick side, it'll be a 2-week period. Most of the time it's 3 to 4. And then we have a couple that are more longer than that. And it just depend on those specific circumstances. We receive most of our information nowadays directly from the custodian. So whether it's Transamerica or John Hancock or Fidelity or anybody else, most of our clients allow us to go retrieve the information ourselves. If they don't like us to do that, then they can retrieve it and give it to us. It's very simple. And then the only other documents and burden, if you will, that we require on the plan sponsor is just perhaps providing payroll information or explanations for differences that we find and we don't understand. So it can be a very painless process, but more often than not, it's kind of what we get is it wasn't as bad as I thought. That's about the best we can hope for. So that's hopefully that answers your question.
Great. So, Mark, why use Coleman Smith, McCleary, and Deaver?
Well, thank you for that. I think there's a number of reasons why we're different. One is that I have a background in this area that dates back for quite a while, and we are very experienced. We're very thorough. We don't hire junior staff, so we don't have people asking what I consider to be dumb questions. Our clients really appreciate that. We don't have staff turnover. The last person that left our firm was in 2013, and before that, I can't even remember. So we have experienced people. They return to the audits year after year, and they're efficient. We have a team usually of two people, maybe three, if it's a large plan, where our communication is very good. It's very frequent, and it allows us to kind of address things before they fall through the cracks. Our fees are very competitive. We're usually at the lower end or middle of the range. And we've got a proven record with the Department of Labor and IRS. They've looked at our work many times. We've represented clients in front of the Department of Labor and IRS. And, it's just been very good. So I think we're a good choice in the industry.
Great. Well, we've been talking with Mark Idle-George one of the managing partners here of Coleman Smith, or senior partners of Coleman Smith, McCleary, and Deaver in Walnut Creek, about 401ks, 401k audits, and not to be scared of the 401k audit world. There's great information on that. Thank you very much, Mark.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Great. And if anybody has any questions, we're certainly able to refer Mark out and just reach us, and we'll get you his information. So have a great day, and we'll see you again.
Thanks. Bye-bye.